and let our children go out to children's church at this time. And as they go, please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, chapter 13. Chapter 13 of the book of Acts, and just to set the context before reading here, beginning in verse 42, the setting is that the Apostle Paul has just finished preaching his first recorded gospel sermon, preached on a Saturday in a synagogue of Pisidian Antioch on his first missionary journey. The synagogue, a ruler, had invited Paul with Barnabas to preach, and Paul had stood up, and after silencing the group there, he preaches a sermon that details over 1,000 years from the time of Abraham through the time of Moses to the very climax of Old Testament history, that is the time of King David, and from there to the fulfillment of all of these promises in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave a 3-part sermon, as we saw in our last 3 messages in the book of Acts. He showed that Jesus is the culmination of all redemptive history. Secondly, he showed that Jesus, through the Lord God, that he fulfilled his promises to Israel by raising Jesus from the dead. And he showed, thirdly, that in Christ alone, sinners can find forgiveness of sin and justification before God. And we saw last week that Paul ended his sermon with a stern warning and a plea that they not be like their forefathers who were judged for their unbelief. And that's where we ended. And the question comes, now that the gospel has been preached in this place by the Apostle Paul, how are the people going to respond to it? And Luke shows us how they responded that day, how they responded the following week, and then how they responded as the gospel spread throughout the region. Beginning in verse 42. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told to them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." So you see that the response to the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, it was mixed. Some believers believed unto eternal life, but others rejected Jesus. And I want you to consider the various responses under three broad headings, or really three distinct episodes that Luke gives to us here. First, the response to the gospel on this Sabbath day when it was first proclaimed. That's verses 42 to 43. Secondly, the response to the gospel on the following Sabbath day when it was proclaimed again. That is verses 44 to 48. And then third, the response to the gospel as it spread throughout the whole region. That's verses 49 to 52. So first, consider the response of the gospel in this synagogue on this Sabbath day when it was first proclaimed. Verse 42, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told to them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. As we consider these first two verses, I just want to point out three things. First, who responded. Second, how they responded. And then thirdly, how they were instructed. So notice first who responded in verse 42. And there is a textual problem here. For those of you with King James or New King James translations, those are two of my very favorite translations, but unfortunately, they're both based on less reliable manuscript evidence, and so from time to time, they will differ quite dramatically from other popular English translations. And that is the case here in verse 42, where they read, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." So the question is whether it is the Gentiles who begged for more gospel, or whether it is the Gentiles and the Jews who were gathered at the synagogue who begged for more. And I believe that it was both the Gentiles and the Jews who were at the synagogue. And I say that not only because of the better manuscript evidence for that reading, but also because verse 43 reiterates that. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, Luke says, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. So you have Jews and Gentiles. In fact, these Gentiles are described in verse 43 as being devout converts to Judaism. And so you have Jews, those who had been reared in the synagogue, those who had been raised in the scriptures, in the word of God. And then you have those who were born Gentiles as pagans, but who were seeking the God of Israel. And they were all gathered together. And so what Paul had shared with them regarding the Old Testament promises fulfilled in Jesus, it had had an effect on both groups. That's who responded. Notice, secondly, how they responded. They were begging to hear more. The service is over, and they gather around them there in the synagogue saying, "We need to hear more of this incredible good news. Would you please come back next week and tell us more about Jesus?" They were pleading with them, begging that these things would be proclaimed again the next Saturday. I wonder, have you ever responded to the preaching of the word like this? That they're begging for more. And the other thing about their response is that they followed them out and continued the conversation. Now, the service had formally come to an end, and the people, they're following Paul and Barnabas down the street with all of their burning questions. And so what Luke is emphasizing here is that this is not a casual, polite interest in the guest preacher, or even heightened interest. This is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. This is a desperate, strong desire for the forgiveness of sins and for justification by faith alone in Jesus alone, which had been proclaimed to them. That is how they responded. Notice thirdly how they were instructed. Paul and Barnabas, they didn't simply say, all right, come back next week and we'll have something more for you then. They spoke more with them. It says, verse 43, as they spoke with them, they urged them to continue in the grace of God. Again, this is not a casual conversation. They are urging them, persuading them, imploring them to continue in the grace of God. That word to continue can mean to cling to remain with, to hold on to. That's the idea. Never leave the grace of God. The message of the gospel is a message of the grace of God. It is the message of the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world, that God was doing something before creation and throughout all history to glorify Himself in His Son who came into this world and lived a perfect life as a human being, as a man who died on the cross for our sins, whose sacrifice God accepted on our behalf by raising Him from the dead. And all of that demonstrates the amazing grace of God. The apostles wanted to persuade them to embrace that and never leave it. And brothers and sisters, that is what I want to urge you to do as well, to continue in the grace of God. Because anything else that you do is doomed to failure. There is only one road on God's map, and it is the road of God's grace. There are many exit signs here and there that the world has put up that tell you to do this or try this or do that. Some of them are religious. Some of them are philosophical. Some of them are moral. Some of them are immoral. You will be crushed by those things. All other paths will only lead to your ruin. So continue in the grace of God. Plant yourself in the only path of eternal life and blessing, and never leave it. Never fall away from it. Secondly, this morning, consider the response to the gospel on the following Sabbath day when it was proclaimed again. Verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed for eternal life believed. So Luke, the historian, he tells you that a week later, almost the whole city, not the whole city, but almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. So all of those people who had heard the gospel and had that great and eager desire to hear more of the gospel throughout that week, that week in which they went and did their jobs and cooked meals, washed dishes, there was no sense of relief from the pressure that I need to hear more about Jesus. But more than that, it's very obvious that they were talking about it and they were urging others to come and to hear it. They were telling other people about the message that they had heard, that Jesus of Nazareth had fulfilled thousands of years of ancient prophecy, how he came and died and rose again from the dead, and how that means that forgiveness of sins and justification before God is available through Jesus, and how there is no judgment from God against all who believe. But for those who do not believe, they are in danger of eternal judgment. And other people said, we need to hear that too. And so almost the whole city is gathered to hear the word of God on this day. And you see two very different responses to the gospel on this momentous Saturday. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they're on their first missionary journey. They're in pagan territory, a Gentile land. And so when almost the whole city is gathered to hear the word of God, the overwhelming majority of this crowd are pagan Gentiles. And Luke tells us that when the Jews, probably referring to the Jewish religious rulers in particular, when they see all of these Gentiles, verse 45, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict the gospel that Paul proclaimed, and they reviled him. So these Jews, they see the implications, the end of sacrifices, the end of circumcision, full fellowship with dogs, the Gentiles, and over that, they are choosing eternal death, eternal condemnation, because they do not want to believe. Paul and Barnabas say in verse 46 that they thrust aside the gospel and judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. Now, God is going to use that. God uses even the rejection of the gospel. God uses unbelief. God is going to use this hardness of heart for the furtherance of the propagation of the gospel. And I say that not to say that we ought not to be grieved when we see people in a hard-hearted way reject the gospel that we proclaim. But I say that to say don't despair, because God can use even their unbelief to bring about riches to others. That's a big part of Paul's argument in Romans 11. Their hard-heartedness, their unbelief has meant riches for the world. And that is now lived out and demonstrated here in Acts 13. So Paul and Barnabas, notice what happens. They don't say, listen, hey, whoa, we are so sorry that this has happened. What can we do to smooth this over? They spoke boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. That was the Lord Jesus' commands from Israel first and then out. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Now that is an amazing statement by Paul and Barnabas. Don't miss this, because they're quoting from a marvelous passage in Isaiah. Isaiah 42 and verse 6 and Isaiah 49 and verse 6, where the Lord is speaking to his servant Israel, ultimately the Messiah, the true Israel, saying, I have made you, Jesus, a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And yet Paul and Barnabas, here they say that the Lord has commanded us in this Old Testament messianic promise. So how can they say that? Well, remember at the outset of Luke's first or second volume, Luke makes clear that the book of Acts is an account of what the Lord Jesus continued to do and to teach. The reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus, the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ in the world, takes place through his body, the church. And so Barnabas and Paul can apply this word given to the Lord Jesus to themselves as his ambassadors, as his representatives. And notice what that word is. God's eternal plan, God's promise from the Garden of Eden on, was to make his Son the light of the world. Not just the light of one nation, but to every nation, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That was always God's plan. Isaiah 49 and verse 6, the full verse says this: "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And the Lord Jesus continues fulfilling this mission through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas as they turn now to the nations with the light of the word of the Lord. And even as the Jews reject that word, it is received with great excitement by the Gentiles. They hear this astounding word from God through Isaiah the prophet. And then verse 48, "When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord." Up until now, Gentiles who wanted to draw near to the Lord, they were told by the rulers of the synagogue that they had to carry this heavy burden of the law and the traditions. They had to offer countless sacrifices. They had to go through countless washings. They had to go through the painful ritual of circumcision. And that even then, God's main program was with ethnic Jews. And so the closest they could ever really get would only be as the second-class citizens of God. And now, in the gospel, they were hearing of one who fulfilled the law on their behalf, one who took the wrath of God for their sins in his body on the cross. And they were now being told that what God required of them was not that they take a knife to their body, not that they radically alter their diet, and all of the washings of pots and pans and hands, but that what God was saying to them was this: you need to depend upon, rely upon, and put your trust in the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be justified from all of the things that the law of Moses could not justify. They now hear that there is one who was everything that God wants, and he will credit his own righteousness to you by faith alone. They now hear that. And they hear that from the beginning, the God of Israel had a heart for them, that he had made promises to them, that the Messiah was for them, and that the God of Israel, through Jesus, welcomed them as full citizens into the household of God, no longer aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. And so they were overjoyed. They were rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. They were praising God for his word, that he had given such promises in the Bible, that such grace was written down, preserved, and now was being fulfilled in their hearing, that there was for them such a great salvation, not only promised, but in their days fulfilled. And then notice the sovereign activity of God on that Sabbath day. The end of verse 48 says this: "And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." So what is being said by Luke here is that God had sovereignly appointed and ordained these to eternal life, which is ultimately why they believed. The Apostle Paul describes the salvation of Jew and Gentile in this way in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. So everything that God has done in our salvation is of grace and is of him. And God ordained these things before you and I were ever born. Paul goes on in Ephesians in chapter 2 to say, "For by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." God has chosen a people in Christ before the world ever began, and as many as are appointed by God to eternal life believe. And through believing, through faith in Christ, they will be justified, something which all of the things in the law of Moses could never accomplish. The God of the Bible is unashamedly a sovereign, electing, choosing God. God is the seeker and the initiator and the provider of our salvation. As we sang earlier, "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of thee." As many as were appointed to eternal life responded that day to the gospel with faith in Jesus. And those who are appointed to eternal condemnation responded by rejecting Jesus. That was the varied response to the gospel on that day. Thirdly, today, let's consider the response to the gospel as it spread throughout the whole region. Verse 49. "And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." So the Jews had thrust aside the gospel, judging themselves unworthy to eternal life. But their unbelief, Paul says in Romans 11, means blessing for the world. It does not mean that God's will has been thwarted. It does not mean that God is now resorting to plan B or plan C or plan D. He was fulfilling what he was always going to do. The fact that they would not believe does not mean that the gospel will not triumph. And you see that here as the word of the Lord was spread throughout the whole region. "But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district." So the rejection becomes heated to the point where there is now the involvement of civil authorities and persecution. Luke here mentions devout women of high standing. These are Gentile women who were associated with the synagogue. And the histories tell us that a lot of wealthy Gentile women in particular had an interest in Judaism at this time because they didn't have to worry about circumcision. That's what the histories tell us. So the Jewish leaders, they come to some of these women and say, "We want to get rid of these men. Go to your husbands, your wealthy, prominent husbands, men in leadership, and get these men out of here. We don't even want them in our region anymore." It's not just that we don't want to hear the gospel. We don't want anyone else to hear the gospel, and we want them out. And what happens? Paul and Barnabas shake the dust from their feet against them and take the precious gospel to Iconium. What is the meaning of shaking off the dust? Well, it goes back to our Lord's words when he sent out his apostles earlier in Luke chapter 9. Jesus said there in verse 5, "And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. You see, when there was a custom that when a Jew left a Gentile town, he didn't want any trace of that unclean, defiled ground remaining on him in any way. So he did two things. He took off his sandal, shook out his sandals, shook off his feet, and then he would also shake out his garment in case any dust had gathered in his garment. He didn't want any trace of that. So what Jesus was saying to his disciples there is that by your actions, you are saying that these Jews, you were treating them as though they are Gentiles. That there is a new people of God being formed, and you're now treating the Jews who do not receive me as if they were Gentiles. Jesus said at another time, Matthew 8 and verse 11, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You know what the background there is? This was when a Roman centurion believed. And Jesus said, I have not found this kind of faith in all Israel. And then he gives a preview of what his saving grace is going to do throughout the nations to the ends of the earth. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what you find in Acts chapter 13. This is a casting out of those who were sons of the kingdom into outer darkness, into a Christless, gospelless, helpless Judaism, where all that they could anticipate is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Paul and Barnabas shake the dust off of their feet against them, and on the day of judgment, that dust will stand as a witness against them of how they deserve the judgment to come. And after shaking off the dust against them, they come to Iconium. Verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is a sobering thing to consider the judgment upon a people and hardness and blindness in judgment coming upon a people. But there is also joy here. Yes, there are those who will reject Jesus. There are nations today that seem to be in almost total blindness and hardness of heart. But there will be those who believe. There is a multitude that no man can number, an innumerable multitude from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. Despite rejection and persecution, oftentimes by means of rejection and persecution, the gospel will continue to go out and spread and triumph. Jesus will build his church. The gates of Hades, the realm of death, will not prevail against it. Somewhere in the highways and in the byways, the lame and the blind and the poor will be brought into the great feast that the noblemen refused and rejected. There were many people in Pisidian Antioch who believed, as many as were appointed to eternal life. And there were disciples who were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit in spite of the rejection, because they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the gospel and because the gospel was spreading triumphantly throughout the whole region. The Apostle Paul would later say in Romans chapter 9, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ, for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. That is the heartache of a man who sees rejection. But then the apostle to the Gentiles, he can also say in Romans 15 and verse 8, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." I've got a broken heart, and I've got a glad heart. I see among some a rejection, even among those by whom and to whom Christ in the flesh came. But I've got every reason to be joyful as I consider what God is doing among the nations to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 13 is a chapter that does call us to hope and to joy. But it's a chapter that also gives a sober warning and calls us to repentance and to faith. And there is an urgency to repentance. Some of you, in a gathering this size and in light of our internet streaming ministry, it is sobering to know that this is true. Some of you have just heard and have just rejected the gospel. Some of you have heard and rejected the gospel many more times than the Jewish leaders in our passage did. And to reject that yet again is placing yourself at eternal risk of having that pile of dust laid up against you. And I can say that some of that dust will be off my feet and off your elders' feet and off your parents' feet and off your children's feet or whoever bears witness, your friend, your husband, your wife, whoever it is who strives and who pleads and who bears witness to you. You cannot long reject the gospel without running the risk where the little light that you have is taken away and the doors are shut and the dust is shook. And there are some people who have sat in churches, some people who have had the word of God given to them and people pled with them and prayed over them and wept over them. And there was a time perhaps when their hearts were soft. And yet the day has come, if you could interview them, they would tell you, you know what, it has been 10 years, 15 years, 20 years since anyone has come to me with the gospel. And that's a testimony to the justice and judgment of God, to those who reject the truth. But there's hope here. And the hope is that this message of peace to all who will believe, it's that God will freely receive in the one way that God has appointed, through the person and the work of His Son. Today is the day of salvation. May God give the grace. May God give help to believe on the risen Lord Jesus Christ alone for eternal salvation. Let us pray. our God and our Father, we pray that you would take these truths and help embolden your people in their witness to this world and in our striving to make sense of the world in which we live, the spiritual darkness that is before us. Lord God, we pray especially for those who have been gospel hearers and gospel rejectors, that they would reject no more, but Father, that they might today, this hour, may it be the hour that you have appointed before the world began, that they would believe. Grant them repentance, we pray. For Jesus' sake and in his name we pray. Amen. Please stand together. Be sure to greet those who are visiting with us and